ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 3. Yasvanupavam akila shuti saramikam. Adhyatma deepam Adityir shatam tam mandham. Samsarinam kadanyaha puranha guyam.
Samsarinam parvaya
tam yasunam upayami guram muninam.
He who
Svanubhavam,
self-assimilated,
experienced,
Akala,
all around,
Shruti,
the Vedas,
Saram,
cream,
Ekam,
the only one,
Adhyatma,
transcendental,
Deepam,
torchlight,
Aditi
Tirishatam,
desiring to overcome,
Tama Andam,
deeply dark
material existence,
Samsarinam,
of the materialistic
men,
Kurunaya,
out of causeless mercy,
Aha,
said,
Purana,
supplement to the Vedas,
Guyam,
very confidential,
Tam,
under him,
Vyasunam,
the son of Vyasadeva,
Upiyami,
let me offer my obeisances,
Gurum,
the spiritual master,
Muninam,
of the great sages.
Translation:
let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him,
Sukha,
the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva,
who,
out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. Translation responsibly. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him,
Sukha,
the spiritual master of the,
of all sages,
the son of Vyasadeva,
who out of his great compassion
for those gross materialists
who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence,
spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge,
after having personally assimilated it by experience.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
In this prayer, Srila Suta Goswami practically summarizes the complete introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural supplementary commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. The Vedanta Sutras, or the Brahma Sutras, were compiled by Vyasadeva with a view to presenting
just the cream of Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on this cream. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a thoroughly realized master on the Vedanta Sutra, and consequently he also personally realized the commentary Srimad Bhagavatam. And just to show his boundless mercy upon bewildered materialistic men who want to cross completely over in their sins, he recited for the first time this confidential knowledge. There is no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or an insignificant ant, can be happy. Everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled by the laws of material nature. Therefore, the materialistic world is called the darkest region of God's creation, yet the unhappy materialist can get out of it simply by desiring to get out. Unfortunately, they are so foolish that they do not want to escape. Therefore, they are compared to the camel who relishes thorny twigs because he likes the taste of the twigs mixed with blood. He does not realize that it is his own blood and that his tongue is being cut by the thorns. Similarly, to the materialist, his own blood is as sweet as honey, and although he is always harassed by his own material creations, he does not wish to escape. Such materialists are called karmis. Out of hundreds of thousands of karmis, only a few may feel tired of material engagement and desire to get out of the labyrinth. Such intelligent persons are called jnanis. The Vedanta Sutra is directed to such jnanis. But Srila Vyasadeva, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, could foresee the misuse of the Vedanta Sutra by unscrupulous men, and therefore he personally supplemented the Vedanta Sutra with the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is clearly said that this Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Brahma Sutras. Srila Vyasadeva also instructed the Bhagavatam to his own son, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who was already at the liberated stage of transcendence. Srila Sukadeva Goswami realized it personally and then explained it. By the mercy of Srila Sukadeva, the Bhagavad Vedanta Sutra is available for all those sincere souls who want to get out of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam is the one unrivaled commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Sripad Sankaracharya intentionally did not touch it because he knew that the natural commentary would be difficult for him to surpass. He wrote his Sarirakya Bhashya, and his so-called followers deprecated the Bhagavatam as some new presentation. One should not be misled by such propaganda directed against the Bhagavatam by the Mayavadi school. From this introductory sloka, the beginning student should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature meant for those who are paramahamsas and completely free from the material disease called malice. The Mayavadis are envious of the personality of Godhead, despite Sripad Sankaracharya's admission that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is above the material creation. The envious Mayavadi cannot have access to the Bhagavatam, but those who are really anxious to get out of this material existence may take shelter of this Bhagavatam because it is uttered by the liberated Srila Sukadeva Goswami. It is the transcendental torchlight by which one can see perfectly the transcendental absolute truth realized as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is showing this section, meaning these first four verses of the second chapter. This section is showing the means of getting out of the entanglement of material existence. The first verse, we saw that one should put forward thoughtful and relevant questions to the guru, to a qualified guru, about the process of transcending material existence.
In the second verse, we see that one who is, there's a description of Sukadeva Goswami, and from that we can understand that one who is fit to impart this transcendental knowledge of the Vedas must have actually attained the goal of Vedas by coming to the transcendental position. And he must know how to deliver that process to others. This third verse, you know, the goal of the Vedas and the process is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the supplement to the cream of the Vedas. But that message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is only understood by the guru who's fully liberated and also free from envy of God. And because he's in such a position, he also has no other motive, whether it be lust, greed or envy, to distort the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. His only motive is compassion for the conditioned souls. And of course in the next verse, which is done tomorrow, then we can understand that to preserve these pure teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam and to receive it, one must accept these teachings in a disciplic succession coming from the Supreme Lord carried forward by such qualified gurus. So in summary, this shows the means of getting out of the entanglement of material existence by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, receiving the knowledge of the scriptures, especially Bhagavad Gita, which is a preliminary understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, then the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, receiving that from a qualified guru coming in disciplic succession from the Supreme Lord. That is the... So therefore, in essence, as chapter 2 expands, this Abhidaya, or the process of devotional service, is being presented. The goal, how to attain pure love of God, is being presented. And Sambandha, the object of worship, is being presented as Lord Sri Krishna. So everything is very nicely explained in this second chapter. In the first chapter, of course, we heard the various questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, and Srila Vyasadeva offered his obeisances to the Supreme Lord as the object of transcendental realization, and the Srimad Bhagavatam was also glorified. So, looking at this particular point that the Srimad Bhagavatam, which presents the process of devotional service to reach the goal of Krishna, it can only be understood and presented by a qualified guru. That's the essence here. So therefore, a little something is stated about the life of Sukadeva Goswami. Most likely, this little... I'm just going to summarise his life. It's probably already been someone... So you spoke. So I'll just quickly go through it without too much detail, because it's important for this section, and in case anyone's missed it. Sukadeva Goswami was born, of course, in the womb of his mother, who is the daughter of Jabali. Yeah. I've never heard what her name was, but at least we know that much. She was the wife of sort of Vyasadeva and the daughter of Jabali. He stayed there for 16 years. Sometimes it's mentioned 12, but generally 16 is the most commonly accepted. he remained in the womb for 16 years. He didn't want to be influenced by Maya. So Srila Vyasadeva went to Dwarka to see Krishna to tell him of his dilemma. So Krishna actually came to the ashram of Srila Vyasadeva and assured Sukadeva Goswami in the womb that he would not be influenced by the material energy. So Sukadeva Goswami actually saw Krishna. Even though he was lying within the womb, he actually saw Krishna. Also, Srila Vyasadeva did try to impress a synopsis of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami while he was within the womb. So then he did, Sukadeva Goswami being assured by Krishna, he actually left the womb and then immediately left for the forest. There was no reformatory process for becoming twice born because he was already, Brahman realized. So he was absorbed in the bliss of self-realization in the forest. And Srila Vyasadeva used to send some of his disciples into the forest to recite certain verses describing Krishna's glory and beauty and compassion to some selected verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam to try and attract Sukadeva Goswami, which actually did attract Sukadeva Goswami, and then he returned to hear the whole Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, which, as described here, he assimilated it, he fully realized it, and out of compassion he then later taught that Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikit Maharaj and all the sages. So that's a little history which is important to understand some of the points that come up as a result of that. One, of course, is that Srila Vyasadeva wanted to teach his Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami not just because he was his son, but because he understood he was completely liberated and completely pure in heart. He knew that he would be the most suitable person to teach Srimad Bhagavatam because he had no ulterior motive in misconstruing Srimad Bhagavatam for any material gain or for even liberated persons actually are not completely purified because they have some envy of God, and therefore they misconstrue the teachings of the Vedas and even Srimad Bhagavatam in order that they can present a philosophy that we can become God. So Srila Vyasadeva, he understood that his son Sukadeva Goswami was the highest order of transcendentalist, and therefore of all persons he would be the best suited to present Srimad Bhagavatam as it is without any ulterior motive that would adulterate it. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest truth, because we heard that in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, being the highest truth, it's only understood by the highest transcendentalists. That means that they're not only free from the modes of material nature and have realized that they are Brahman or a particle of Brahman or spiritual by nature, but they are nimatsaranam, they are free from envy. They are non-envious of Bhagavan. Some, as Srila Prabhupada describes here, he describes the sorry plight of the materialists, the karmis. And then he describes that those who try to rise above that position of the karmis, the jnanis, and they realize that they are a spirit soul, or they are not part of the material energy. But because there's still some lacking of purification, there is still some envy of the Supreme Lord, and they actually don't want to serve God. Actually, they want themselves to be God. So, because they are envious of the Supreme Lord, they therefore can't understand the actual nature of Bhagavan, because Bhagavan, as we will hear in Srimad Bhagavatam and as described in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan is only understood by devotion, by love. And because there's some envy of the Supreme Lord, they can't understand Bhagavan. Therefore, they have no access to understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually the glories of Bhagavan. So, you know, they're excluded from being able to understand it. Not only can they not understand it, but they are also motivated by the envy of God to try and diminish the position of Bhagavan and elevate themselves to the position of being God. So ultimately, you know, they have no access to understand or present Srimad Bhagavatam. So really, as Prabhupada says, they can't even touch it. So now, Sankaracharya did not touch it. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, knowing that it was very difficult to override or misconstrue, and of course later we see in the third canto in the purport that Prabhupada, because Sankaracharya was an incarnation of Lord Shiva, he also knew it actually would be a great offence even to try. So he didn't touch it for various different reasons, but his followers, misunderstanding their own guru, Sankaracharya, you know, thinking, well, Sankaracharya hasn't touched it, you know, they have manufactured that it is a new presentation. It is something different from the Vedas. Although the Srimad Bhagavatam and Sukadeva Goswami are mentioned in the various Puranas, quite, you know, describing its actual position as, you know, the supplement to the Vedanta Sutra and spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. Yet they have, but you know, they not only do they not accept the Srimad Bhagavatam, but they actually don't even accept the Puranas as well. So, you know, even the various proofs that support Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't accept that as well. But actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the supplement to the cream. The Vedanta Sutra is the cream of Vedic knowledge, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplement. Because it's a torchlight which helps one to understand the absolute truth to the full extent in the features of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Therefore it's called in this verse Purana Guyam, or very confidential Purana, because there are different Puranas, but Srimad Bhagavatam is the most confidential, giving the highest knowledge, which is very rarely understood. So although Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the the commentary on the cream of the Vedas, the cream of course is the most palatable essence, just like, you know, the cream of milk is the most palatable essence of milk. So although it is such a considered the essence, we understand that still, if it is presented by the wrong persons, it should not be heard. So even though Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important literature, if it is presented by a materialistic person or Mayavadis or atheistic persons, it is considered to be like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. That if you, that milk, although ordinarily is very nutritious and increases one's life and vitality, once it's been touched by the poison of the lips of a snake, it will actually cause spiritual death. So in other words, if you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam
from the wrong person, you will get the impression that Krishna is an ordinary person, therefore don't serve him, and that we can ourselves become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one is it is a spiritual death, because one is taken away from the path of devotional service and one is taken away from understanding Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So they're very, very dangerous. So therefore, one should hear it from a qualified guru, and that's what's being described in this verse, that Sukadeva Goswami, his qualification is that one must have personally assimilated Srimad Bhagavatam, as described. The materialist, impersonalist, they can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no question of them assimilating something. It's like a teacher who, a mathematics teacher who doesn't know how to do algebra, and they're teaching algebra. It's a very complicated subject. The students have got no hope of learning. One must understand, assimilate it means one must understand it thoroughly, fully realize, an expert. And that is understood by hearing. Understanding the purpose of the Vedanta Sutra and of the Srimad Bhagavatam means that the purpose of all the Vedas is Krishna. That is described in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter. So we see that Sukadeva Goswami, he was mad after Krishna. He was always absorbed in Krishna and always wanted to serve Krishna. Therefore, we can understand that he had fully assimilated the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was such a qualified spiritual master that is described here that he is Gurun Muninam, that he is the guru of all other sages and saintly persons. That when Sukadeva Goswami appeared, even his spiritual master Srila Vyasadeva and his param guru Narada Muni, they all stood up to offer their respects and offer him the Vyasasan as the most superior person to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to all other persons. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami is considered to be the most qualified person. So therefore, this also, we also get an understanding of the stature of Srimad Bhagavatam from this, because if the most elevated person who is offered respect, even by Srila Vyasadeva and Narada Muni, is speaking the essence of all knowledge and he speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we must understand, such a person is not, such an elevated person is not going to, sit there and read something which is wasting his own time, or, all these great sages, or Parikkhit Maharaj. Parikkhit Maharaj, of course, 7 days to live, he's going to give him the absolute essence. And therefore we can understand by Sukadeva Goswami's position that something of the stature of the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. So, we see that Sukadeva Goswami, after assimilating Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually distributed it. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he describes that this is the instinctive response. If you've actually really learn the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of all knowledge, automatically you'll actually be inclined to preach it. That is, we'll discuss that a little bit later.
But so this Srimad Bhagavatam is definitely confirmed to be the essence of all Vedic knowledge, and it was spoken by the most qualified guru. And Sukadeva Goswami, having no envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having fully realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own devotional service, he had no reason to present Srimad Bhagavatam other than compassion for the living entities in the age of Kali, or, you know, for all time. Sukadeva Goswami was above all materialistic, he was not like the, as Prabhupada calls it, the there are artistic reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, materialistic men, and they make a profession. It's very, very common in India. You know, it's a profession. You charge, you earn so much money, and you get so many gifts, and you very, you know, in a very theatrical way, in a very palatable way, you know, present the Srimad Bhagavatam, paying a lot of attention to different parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam which attract people, such as the 10th canto, the descriptions of the Rasa Leela and things like that. But actually, as Prabhupada mentions in one of his lectures, that, you know, unless someone has actually realized Srimad Bhagavatam, if they preach the Srimad Bhagavatam, it will have no effect. There must be this Svanur Bhavam. Srila Prabhupada explained that therefore we see so many people in India teach the Srimad Bhagavatam for some ulterior motive and have not realized the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the people that hear it remain in the same position. So they go to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Those people are completely materialistic. They're addicted to all sorts of materialistic bad habits. They hear Srimad Bhagavatam and they go home, and they remain in the same position. There is no change. They don't become a devotee and they don't become Krishna conscious. Sometimes, you know, this is an interesting point, because devotees actually meet many people. I know, because, you know, with doing the samskaras, I'm dealing mostly with Indian families. And you know, you come across many people who have heard Srimad Bhagavatam. But you can see that the Srimad Bhagavatam has had no effect on them. You know, that they can be very, very materialistic, and their understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is always distorted. And this is the result of hearing, you know, from the wrong persons. Whereas Srila Prabhupada presented the Srimad Bhagavatam without any motive, purely out of compassion and having fully realized it, and immediately he would present even one or two verses, even just speak, you know, part of a verse to someone, that person would want to become a Krishna conscious, that person would want to become a devotee. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, you know, by his preaching Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world, he made many devotees, which is the same as what we were saying the other day about kirtan. You know, we have to be careful that when we perform kirtan, we are performing it with realization that we are trying to serve the holy name of the Lord, who is non-different from Krishna, out of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls and for our own purification, not that we are trying to perform a theatrical performance or an artistic performance simply for some adoration, because it won't be effective. There's some benefit, but you actually won't make devotees that way. And sometimes the difficulty is that sometimes people think, oh, I can never do kirtan. I can't play musical instruments very well. I can't sing very well. I could never do such a theatrical performance. You know? And sometimes it can be a lot putting. Sometimes people hear some very simple kirtan and they think, oh, I can do that. You know? And they want to do it because they've heard the kirtan purely. You know? Not that devotees who are very good at kirtan should be deprecated. We shouldn't, look at devotees who are, very expert in kirtan, that they've dedicated their life to trying to attract people to the holy name, and therefore they become very expert with the musical instruments and become very expert with the singing and the various tunes and what have you. Not that, we look at them and think, oh, that's something wrong with that person, he's trying to make it, it's not that, but we should also see that person is very expert musically, singing wise and what have you, is also a pure hearted devotee with that mood of compassion and preaching, and they're not just doing it for the, we should see that. And if they're also, so dedicated to the holy name that they've made it very attractive as well on that platform for people who are not so advanced, then that is also very good. Because generally, there are two ways of relishing the holy name or the topics of the Lord. For neophyte devotees, very, very neophyte or very new people, to hold their attention to hear the holy name for a certain amount of time, if there is not some nice musical tune and nice instrumental accompaniment, and even the person who's leading is somewhat attractive and charismatic, they find it difficult to be attracted simply because it's the holy name of the Lord. Unless, of course, it is that kirtan is by a very, very pure-hearted devotee, which has a certain attraction in itself. People can see, oh, this person is so pure, and they're just very, very attracted to the purity of that person. But generally, beginners in Krishna consciousness, they find it hard to fix their attention on the holy name without some embellishment. So for them, it's actually helpful. So someone, similarly, even giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, it doesn't need to be, particularly theatrical or what have you, or expressive, but sometimes to keep people awake, No, it's a fact. Sometimes to keep people awake, you actually might have to say a little joke and you get them laughing, or you throw your arms around, you tell a story. No, it's a fact, and it helps them. You're not doing it to get attention for yourself or for your own adoration, but you know that neophytes or young devotees struggle to fix their attention on the holy name or Srimad Bhagavatam for a period of time. So you can, to help them, you may do it, not for adoration. So it's not that we should deprecate, if it's done purely to help people to fix it. But actually, advanced devotees, they don't care. It doesn't matter whether the person is singing in tune or out of tune, with musical accompaniment, very nicely or not very nicely. If the holy name is being sung by a pure-hearted devotee,
they can fix their attention completely, 100%. Even, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken in a, you know, a way that's not, you know, sometimes devotees speak in a monotone for the entire, you know, in this. But, you know, advanced devotees, they're just so attracted to the holy name, to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that whenever it's being presented in a pure-hearted way, their attention is just fixed. You don't need anything to help them. It's just fixed. So, in this way, you know, we can understand you know, various aspects. But Sukadeva Goswami, of course, you know, he was completely pure-hearted and non-envious. He was presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is without motivation, and Srila Prabhupada did the same thing, and that is the ultimate attractive feature of kirtan or Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, if the person who is presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name, actually that is the most attractive feature, that is the most potent feature, is that they are actually come to a transcendental platform and completely serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the holy name is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's called anubhavam. Anubhavam. Mm. Here, this the Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, or the materialists, even if they come to the liberated platform, liberated platform means that a person comes to understand that that they are not this body, not this material body. The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they come to that platform, they're jnanis, but because of their envy of the Supreme Lord, they never take up the position of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So their liberation is actually marginal. Srila Prabhupada considers that type of liberation to be like convalescence. That just like a person may have a fever, and then the fever subsides by the proper cure, but in the convalescent stage, it means that if a person is not really careful and take up certain activities nicely, they will again relapse to the same condition. So, theoretical understanding of the liberated platform, I am not the body, is not sufficient. One actually has to practice devotional service or serving the Supreme Lord. These are the activities of Brahman. So from the convalescent that, yes, I understand I am not this body, one then actually has to take up activities in Brahman. I am Brahman, so now I must act on Brahman, and that is called devotional service. That devotional service means that, which is what we learn through the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us that we see everything is belonging to Krishna. All energies, everything in the material world belongs to Krishna and should be engaged in his service. One who has that fully realizes that. Therefore, they see Krishna in everything. Everything within the material world, everything in the spiritual world, including one's own self, one sees Krishna in it, in the sense that everything is Krishna's energy. And one sees Krishna in every activity because one engages Krishna's energy in his service. So Krishna is within every object, Krishna is within every activity. That is seeing Krishna. That is anubhavam. That means you're not seeing Krishna eye to eye, but you're seeing Krishna in everything. That, and because Krishna is non-different from, you know, the one's thoughts of Krishna, that means you're actually in the association of Krishna, and you're feeling, anubhavam, you're feeling the presence of Krishna in everything, and seeing the presence of Krishna in everything. That is anubhavam. At that stage, when it becomes more and more purified, brings one to the point of actually seeing God or seeing Krishna eye to eye. That is that, and that is the comes to the platform of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. But this is the preliminary level of Krishna consciousness, which devotees, how they feel the presence of Krishna through, and that is Krishna consciousness. By Krishna consciousness, you're perceiving Krishna everywhere. That Krishna consciousness in its preliminary stage is anubhavam, as described here by Sukadeva Goswami. So, so that that process of Krishna consciousness, when it's presented by those who are who on that platform of anubhavam, they are Krishna conscious and they're pure hearted. That is distributed to the adhyatma dipam atidirishatam tamandiham. Those who desire the transcendental torchlight to cross over the darkest regions of material existence. So, this darkest regions of material existence, it is described that Kali Yuga is like the rainy seasons compared in the 20th chapter of the 10th canto. The Srimad Bhagavatam is like the rainy season. So, you know, first of all, actually, when we talk about the darkness, that Prabhupada describes living in the material world something like living in a coconut. You know, coconut is sort of half filled with liquid, you know, and if you live in a coconut, you can't see the world outside, and it's all dark in there, you know. So we're like that. We're living in a coconut, big coconut is the earth. We can't see the spiritual sky. We can't see the, you know, all Vaikuntha planets. We can't see anything like that. So we're living in darkness. Even darker than that is when you get to Kali Yuga. So it's a more dense type of darkness, you know, because darkness can be more and more dark. I remember I used to, when I was living on the farm, I used to walk, because I was the only one there most times. I'd leave the children in bed and I'd walk from the house a couple of hundred yards up to the temple. Some nights you could see the stars and the moon and you could see where you're going. Some nights it was so dark, you know, it's a dark moon night and covered with clouds. You put your hand like this and you can't see it. There's no light anywhere. Nothing. And I used to walk to the temple to do the Mangalarti by myself. Or rather, going to tie with him. And my dog, Haridas, he would come, the Mangalarti. I'm sure he was a fallen devotee, you know, from previous life. So, but he would come to Mangalarti. He used to love Mangalarti. But he knew where the road was, you know, and he would run back and forth just in front of me, chasing the kangaroos off the road, like that. And the only way I knew where I was is because I could hear my footsteps on the gravel. And when I couldn't hear them, I knew I was on the grass, because you can't tell the direction. You know, it's just so dark. And then I'd go in like this. Very, very dark. So, you know, at night time, so we're in the material world, we're in Kali Yuga, and it's night time in the winter. Now, you think you can't get any darker than that. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures on this verse, he quotes the fifth canto that materialistic family life is like falling into a dark well. So imagine I'm on my way to Mongolia. There were wells on that property. You know, imagine I just got off the track to a certain degree, and you come across, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, on the farm, all sorts of places there. You know, you can fall into a hole, and you'll be gone. And of course, no one will hear, and it is just, you know, you're done for. So, in Kali Yuga, that's the position of materialistic, you know, family life, just absorbed. The next step, there is one more step, and they become an animal. You know, so very, very, you know, the darkest, deepest, darkest regions of darkness. One who wants to get... Now, in Kali Yuga, in that sort of darkness, just like at night time, sometimes there are glowworms. You know, the luminaries, the stars and the moon and sun, they're obscured in the same way that people like Sukadeva Goswami, who actually know the Vedas, no one cares for him. No one can see that torchlight. But the atheists, the Mayavadis, the materialists, they're very, very prominent. They're like the glowworms. But actually, you can't take, you know, in that sort of darkness, the light of a glowworm doesn't help. It's ineffective. It has no real value. But Srila Prabhupada describes that just as even in the rainy season, sometimes at night, the clouds actually clear, and then the moon and the stars shine down, and you can see very, very clearly. In this Kali Yuga, sometimes that happens in the same way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda have arisen like the sun and the moon, and they have given the torchlight through the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And for those who are want to cross out of this darkness. So just one final analogy from the autumn season. Described that in the rainy season, sometimes after the rain there is massive thunder, and after the thunder all the frogs begin to croaking, ribbit, ribbit, like this. So it's described there that in the same way that generally, you know, even if by, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is given the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam, but generally students are not inclined to get out of bed early, perform their morning duties, become purified, chant Hare Krishna and read the Srimad Bhagavatam. But when there is a great acharya ringing the bell, and you know, all the students, they rise up and perform their morning duties, and just like all of us here, you know, by the, because of the force of the acharya, you know, we're here to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, even with what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, we'd still be laying somewhere in bed, you know, in the darkness of ignorance, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given Srimad Bhagavatam and Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But just as there is thunder and all the fogs begin to croak by Srila Prabhupada's loud, you know, calling, all over the world, people all over the world are actually taking advantage of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who do that, they cross beyond the darkness of the deepest darkness of ignorance. So I'll leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments on this verse. Yeah, the question being that the Mayavadis
are envious of the Supreme Lord, and what was the second part? They therefore
they
desire to become God. Mm. Yes. They don't want to serve the Supreme Lord as they want to be. The underlying factor is this, that Prabhupada states, that we leave the spiritual world due to being overcome by desire and envy, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. We envy the Supreme Lord as being the enjoyer, and we desire that we should be the enjoyer. So we come to the material world and we try to enjoy material existence. When we become completely frustrated, we then try to attain liberation from that suffering condition and the illusory condition. But that same desire and envy is there to some degree, and therefore we desire to enjoy on the spiritual platform. We want to become the supreme in that way. The master of everything, the supreme. So it's the same mentality, which just is, transposed then onto the spiritual platform. It's the same desire and envy that we don't want Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer. We want that position for ourselves. So the envy and the desire are there, and they're just transposed onto a spiritual platform. That desire and envy also in the Buddhist, there is a sense of wanting to they would rather there be nirvana or cessation of everything, rather than to revive spiritual activities and spiritual variety. The same desire and envy underlies the Sunyavadis and Sunyavadi and the materialists. Materialism, voidism, impersonalism, same desire and envy to different degrees. Mm.
What is the difference between Supreme Absolute Truth?
So between
Supreme Godhead Krishna.
Yes.
And Absolute Truth.
Krishna is the topmost level of understanding the Absolute Truth. So the Absolute Truth is realized as Brahman, spiritual substance, Paramatma. As the Brahman, realization of the Absolute Truth means that we realize that the Absolute Truth has a feature of eternal existence. There is an eternally existing spiritual substance known as Brahman. By realization of Paramatma, we realize that the Absolute Truth also has the feature of Chit, or consciousness. So there is eternally knowledge. Knowledge means the knower, the knowable, and knowledge. So that's the chit feature, which is manifested by Paramatma realization. Those who realize Brahman realize the third feature of the Absolute Truth, of Ananda. They realize that the eternal existence, the eternal reality, which can be known by the chit feature of the Supreme Lord, can also be enjoyed both by the Supreme Lord and all the living entities, and that feature is understood as Ananda. So coming to the Bhagavan feature, we realize the Ananda feature of the Absolute Truth. Until then, we only know the subordinate features of the Absolute Truth. Alright, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.